You don't have to have a very high IQ to be wise. Wisdom is, I believe the Word of God. I know a lot of guys with high IQs that are very high, but they're fools. When the cult, the Babylonian mystery cult, that established itself on the plains of Shinar, it never really completely left. Even though God confounded the world's languages, they took their beliefs with them. Because you can confound someone's language, but that doesn't purify their heart. Doesn't purify their minds. So the cult really flourished all over the world, even after that. When Babylon was collapsing, the kingdom Babylon, and the mystery religion was still flourishing there, the priests of the cult religion fled to Phoenicia. Now, the cult was really all over the world then, but the priests that were in the inner group, the ones at the higher levels in their teaching, were pretty much stationed around Babylon. I want you to understand, incidentally, that's one of the great problems that's happened in Judaism. One of the reasons that modern Judaism is a cult, anything's a cult that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the God of the universe come in the flesh, that he died for the sins of man and that he rose from the dead on the third day, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father and he's coming again. If you don't believe that, you're as cultic as you can be. You may call yourself a Baptist, but if you don't believe that, you are cultic. Now, the Baptists aren't cultic, but you are. I know Baptist preachers that are cultic. I know Pentecostal preachers that are cultic. Once the Jews were carried away to Babylon, the majority of them never returned. Literally millions remained in Babylon. When you read the Bible in Nehemiah and Ezra, only handfuls, 50,000 or so, returned, and a few more dribbled in over the years. In other words, where has the seat of Judaism been throughout most of time? Not in Jerusalem. Most of time, since 586 B.C. and back to 605 B.C., when it first began, the carrying away to Babylon, which has been nearly 2,600 years now, during most of that time, the leaders of the Jewish religion, the main rabbis, have lived in Babylon, in that part of the world. And all the ones that did the writing, the Talmud, the Mishnah, all their books that they quote more than they do the Old Testament, really, were written by apostate Jewish rabbis who thought they were too clever to believe literally the Old Testament. They needed some extra material and extra revelation from God, much like Christian Science in the book Science and Health. You can always tell when you're in serious trouble, beloveds, when you've got another book besides the Bible that you put along equal with it. That includes your commentaries. If you think that commentary is the way, the truth, and life, you're in trouble. That includes your Southern Baptist Quarterly. If you think that light comes from Nashville, you're in trouble. Those of you that are Assembly of Godders, if you think that light comes from Springfield, you're in trouble. The priests of Babylon, when Babylonia were what was collapsing, the king was fled to Phoenicia. There they set the cult up there, and there they called it Baal. It spread from there when Ahab, the Israelite king, married Jezebel, the Phoenician princess. They already had trouble with Baal worship in Israel, but she brought it there. I mean, in style. Then their daughter, Athaliah, married the king of Judah's son, Jehoshaphat's son, Joram. And it spread throughout all of Israel. They've never gotten rid of it. They don't worship the idols. They don't have objects. But the basic doctrines are still in modern Judaism. Now hear this. Phoenicia was a seafaring people, as most of you know, open to the Mediterranean Sea. And these priests taught the people in Phoenicia. These people got on ships as, shall we say, missionaries, and everywhere they went, they told the glories of the cult. When Phoenicia collapsed as a kingdom, the priests got on their boats and fled again. This time they settled in Italy, northern Italy, in the Po River Valley. They indoctrinated the people that lived there called the Etruscans. And when Rome, the city-state of Rome, began to conquer all of Italy, when Rome conquered the Etruscans in the Po River Valley, the Etruscans conquered Rome with their religion. It came back to Rome under the name Mithraism. And instead of Baal, his name was Mithras. That's their language name for Baal. And if you were a Roman citizen, if you were anybody, I mean, if you were, all the Caesars belonged to the cult. Constantine died the high priest of the cult of Baal. Only there they called it Mithras. Constantine was never saved. He added Jesus to his God. Amen. He just said, oh, Jesus is a God? Good, I'll take him too. He'd have made a great Hindu. See, you go to Hindus and you offer them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've already got about 6,000 gods. What's one more? If he's a God, sure. Look, man, I don't want to offend any of them. Yeah, sure. Listen, you go to India and preach the gospel. Say, how many of you want to accept Jesus? Every one of them raise their hand. And these missionaries that don't understand anything, they come back, these evangelists, they're the worst. The missionaries understand it. It's the evangelists that don't. And they come back and they show you their pictures of their great crusade with 20,000 Hindus with their hands in the air accepting Jesus so that they can raise enough money to go back. I know a bunch of missionaries over in India. And see, they know what happens when the evangelist goes home. About five of them got saved and they come on down to the church. The rest of them, Jesus, they didn't accept Jesus as Lord, the only Lord, the way, the truth, and life. No, they accepted him as one of many, which is not salvation. Jesus doesn't offer himself as one of many. You go back to the same crowd 5 years later and preach again, they'll all take him again. They make good Pentecostals. They all lost it during those 5 years. And they're ready to get it again. Because that teaching is the cult. It is not true Christianity. The cult has always taught salvation begins with an initiation rite. You Church of Christers, that's what you teach. You Catholics, that's what you teach. Lutherans, that's what you teach. Episcopalians, that's what you teach. Salvation begins when you're a baby and you put that water on them. That's pure cultism. Has nothing to do with Christianity. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, which was written after Acts 2:38, that the only way to salvation is the way Abraham got saved. God makes a promise about the Messiah and you believe it. And if you don't, you're not saved. And if you do, you are. The cult has always taught salvation begins with initiation rite, some kind. And quite often they do use water baptism. But they've got all kinds. It depends on the denomination of the cult. The cult has always taught that after that initiation experience, the way you stay saved and maintain your salvation is through good works. You must continue working for the cult. Right, Jehovah's Witnesses? There's the next Jehovah's Witness right there. He got so sick and tired of working for his salvation, he decided to give up and let Jesus just give it to him. Now, the Bible does teach we should maintain good works, but not for salvation. That's because if you're a son, you want to be a good son, do what daddy says. Besides, he's promised salvation is free, but he's going to give you rewards based on the works. Those that are faithful in little will rule and govern over little. Those that are faithful in much will rule and govern with him over much. It's just that simple. And the cult's favorite, you see, because the cult must keep power over you. And the way they do it is the fear, two fears. Number one, all cults teach you cannot know in this life whether you're going to make it or not. See, even the ones that are in the reincarnation, you're not sure whether you're going to make the jump this time or not. You may come back again. and they're so tired of coming back. And I talked to one, he said he was so tired of the cycle of death and life, and he was just worn out for centuries of doing it. I told him, you know what, that's weird. I said, you've really bought the power of suggestion because you haven't been coming back. If I'm going to keep you under my thumb and I'm the head of the cult, I've got to keep you working because that brings me money in. I've got to have power if I'm the head of the cult. Power means many followers, and many followers means political clout and money, baby. And that's power. Well, in this life it is. It won't be very much longer. Now hear this. So to keep you straight, I've got to tell you, number one, you can't know. You cannot know in this life whether you're going to heaven or hell. You can't know if you believe in one of those things. Many of you come from denominations, the biggest one in this country, Roman Catholicism, 50 million Catholics in America out of 200 and something million people, close to 60 million now. They tell you all the time, you can't know. A priest and I had a long talk about that on a plane. I told him I knew. He said, you can't know. I said, I know. I know exactly where I'm going. I said, if I drop dead while we're talking, angels will immediately carry me to the presence of God. And Jesus is going to stand up off the throne and say, hi, son, welcome home. He said, you can't know that. I said, I do know that. He said, if you know that and it's true, there's no reason for my faith. He meant his denomination. I said, you're exactly right. You may not like it, but you have at least logically reached the correct conclusion. Because your whole faith is built on keeping the people afraid. Keeping them in line by fear. That's cultic. And the Pentecostals do it. Your Methodists do it. And I can just go on and on and on. The way to keep you under control is to tell you, you can't know where you're going when you die till you get there. And number two, even if you think you're going to make it, you might lose it tomorrow. If you think you're going to lose it tomorrow, you're not going to bother telling anybody about Jesus or about their souls. You're never going to be a witness because you're so worried about losing your own. You ain't got time to tell somebody else about their soul and how to get right with God because you're so afraid you're going to lose yours. The only thing in your mind is, I've got to make sure I make it. And your whole life becomes centered on yourself. That's cultic. The whole cult teaches, look in on yourself and search for the answers deep within yourself. Because you think that your denomination has taught you right. And I'm trying to tell you that nearly every denomination teaches the cult doctrine on that. Those of you that believe in losing your salvation, you can't believe that a Christian ought to get by with sinning. And to you, the only right thing to do is to go on and send him to hell after all. What he's lost is fellowship with God immediately until he repents. And if you don't think that's dreadful, nearly everything that you have heard in your churches is tainted with cult doctrine, and it's been disguised with one or two verses out of context to flavor it to make you think it's Christian. We've tried to organize the Holy Spirit so that what we've got is sheer misery. I want you to understand, I would say at least 98.5% of all the Christian churches in America, I don't want to go. And I don't.